All right. Want to really get a handle on 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Yeah.
Buckle up. It's a fascinating ride.
It is.
And maybe a little controversial, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're taking you through a lecture by Dr. Robert Yarbrough.
Okay.
He's a seminary professor, and he's focusing on the pastoral epistles, especially 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Right. So what's interesting here is that Dr. Yarbrough doesn't just tell us what the chapter says.
Yeah.
He really digs into why it matters.
Right.
You know, he talks about the historical context and even how it connects to our lives today.
Yeah. And he makes some points that'll really make you think. Like, did you know that prayer was the central thing in early Christian worship?
Mm.
We're talking way more important than you might think.
Yeah.
And then there's Dr. Yarbrough's take on men, women, and discipleship.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just say it's not what some modern interpretations would have you believe.
Exactly. And of course, we're going to tackle that verse, 1 Timothy 2.2, head on.
Right.
Nuance, historical context, the whole shebang.
I am ready. Dr. Yarbrough starts by getting real. You know, he says that the Bible sometimes just goes against modern culture.
Yeah.
He even uses 1 Timothy 1's stance on homosexuality as a straight up example.
Yeah. And that's important, you know, because he's saying that our understanding of chapter 2 really depends on how much weight we give to the Bible's view on gender roles today.
Hmm.
It really makes you wonder, how do we interpret scripture in light of our culture now?
Yeah. Seriously. Right off the bat, he's making us confront these huge questions about faith and modern life.
Absolutely. And then he dives into what he sees as the heart of the chapter, which is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's like the core of Christian worship.
Okay.
You know, like how some cultures call churches houses of prayer.
Mm.
He's making a connection there.
Yeah, that's powerful, right?
Yeah.
And Dr. Yarbrough doesn't stop there. He says prayer is crucial for everyone, especially those in charge. He even quotes 1 Timothy 2.1 through 2 to back it up.
Right, but here's the kicker. He compares this prayer-focused view to how Protestants emphasize sermons. Now, he's not saying sermons aren't important.
Right.
But he warns us about leaders who don't prioritize prayer.
It makes you think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, could our own churches be guilty of that?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he's saying that to have a truly effective ministry, you need more than just knowledge.
Hmm.
You need God's presence.
Right.
And that comes through prayer. What do you think about that?
It's a powerful reminder for all of us. And from there, Dr. Yarbrough kind of takes us to the theological core of 1 Timothy 2.5 to 7.
Okay.
Where Paul is super clear about there only being one God and Jesus Christ being the only mediator.
Okay. And this is where it gets really interesting. Dr. Yarbrough explains that Christ's sacrifice was a ransom for everyone.
Right.
But, and this is a big but, he's careful to point out that it doesn't automatically mean universal salvation.
Exactly. He talks about this idea of common grace, where God's goodness extends to everyone, but the ransom Christ paid specifically secures salvation for believers.
Mm. Yeah. And he uses 1 Timothy 4.0 to prove his point. It's fascinating how he contrasts God being a savior for all through common grace, but then also having this special saving grace for those who believe.
It's a subtle difference, but it's crucial. And this leads us to another intriguing point.
Okay.
Dr. Yarbrough suggests that Paul might have been accused of lying. This is based on 1 Timothy 2.7.
Hmm.
And that it was because of pushback from Jewish people who were against his ministry to the Gentiles.
No, that's some drama.
It is.
You have to remember there was a lot of tension between Jewish believers who insisted on circumcision and all the Jewish customs for salvation.
Right.
And then the early church saying, nope, salvation comes through faith in Christ alone.
You see that tension play out in the story of Peter and Cornelius in the book of Acts.
Right.
It's a perfect example
yeah.
of how the early church struggled with these same questions.
Right. But here's what's really striking. Dr. Yarbrough points out that Paul, unlike some churches today, totally refused to change his message just to please people or fit in with the culture.
Hmm.
It makes you wonder, how do we stay true to our beliefs when the world is telling us something different?
It's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah.
It's a challenge for sure.
Yeah. The challenge we all face, right?
Oh.
Trying to balance staying true to our faith while also living in the world as it is. And speaking of challenges, Dr. Yarbrough doesn't just leave us up in the air with these theological debates.
Right.
He brings things down to earth by looking at the practical instructions in 1 Timothy 2.8 to 9.
Okay.
You know, he talks about the importance of having the right attitude and behavior during worship.
So that's where his point about men and anger comes in.
Right, exactly.
He observed that men often express strong emotions through anger. He even talks about how common anger is in doctrinal debates.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, sports.
Of course.
Which, let's be honest, we've all seen that play out.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
He even challenges us to think about whether anger is an issue in our own lives, especially when it comes to religion.
It's a tough question, but one worth asking ourselves, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's easy to get caught up in being right, but are we letting anger get in the way of truly worshiping God?
Yeah, right.
Right.
It's a good reminder that what's going on inside of us matters just as much as what we show on the outside.
Right.
Especially when we're trying to connect with God.
And then Dr. Yarbrough moves on to the instructions for women in 1 Timothy 2.9-10.
Okay.
This is where he really unpacks what Paul meant about modesty and proper behavior.
Yeah, and he makes sure to clarify that Paul isn't saying women can't have nice hairstyles or wear nice clothes.
Right.
It's more about making sure those things don't become distractions or contradict our faith, you know.
So it's about keeping the focus on what's really important. And he connects this back to his observation that women often pay more attention to appearance than men do.
It's an interesting observation, isn't it?
Right.
It makes you think about how much our outward appearance reflects our inward state and our commitment to our faith.
Definitely something to ponder. But okay, get ready, because now we're heading into the deep end. 1 Timothy 2.11-12.
Oh, yeah.
These are the verses that everyone debates.
Yep.
And has a different interpretation of.
Right. Yeah, these verses have caused a lot of controversy. But here's the thing. Dr. Yarbrough starts off with a surprising argument. He says the command, let a woman learn, is actually a positive statement. He sees it as affirming that women are just as important as men when it comes to being disciples.
Hold on, really? That's not how I've usually heard it interpreted.
It's a really interesting take, right?
Yeah.
He even critiques the Western Church, saying that we often fail to emphasize discipleship as the most important identity for all believers, regardless of whether they're male or female.
He's saying that we get so hung up on rules and roles that we forget the core of Christianity, being disciples, learners, followers of Christ.
And he goes on to say that women haven't always been encouraged to be serious learners.
Okay.
He even suggests that that's partly because some preaching is so shallow, it doesn't give women anything substantial to engage with.
Ouch, that's got a sting for some preachers.
Right.
He's saying that if we want women to be active and engaged disciples, we need to offer them teaching that challenges them and helps them grow.
It's a high bar for teachers and preachers, for sure. But let's be honest, we all benefit from good teaching that makes us think and wrestle with our faith. But we're not done with the controversy yet. Remember that phrase, let a woman learn in quietness and full submission.
Oh boy, here we go. This is the one that always gets people riled up.
Well, Dr. Yarbrough tackles it head on. He says it's not about silencing women forever.
Okay.
Instead, he interprets it as encouraging a peaceful and receptive posture that makes it easier to learn.
So it's more about creating the right environment for learning, not about saying women can never speak up.
Exactly. Think about it. You can't really learn anything if you're constantly interrupting or trying to dominate the conversation.
That makes sense. But what about that part about women not being allowed to teach or have authority over men in 1 Timothy 2.12? That seems hard to reconcile with the idea of gender equality today.
It's definitely a difficult verse. Dr. Yarbrough's view is that this instruction was specifically about relieving women of the duty of teaching the entire congregation.
Okay.
And being in charge of spiritual oversight. He emphasizes that it didn't mean women couldn't teach in other contexts.
Right.
They could still teach their families, other women, or even in their professional lives.
So he's saying it was a specific restriction for a particular kind of teaching and leadership role, not a blanket ban on women using their gifts and knowledge in other areas.
That's his take on it. He goes on to explain that this instruction is rooted in his understanding of 1 Timothy 2.13-15, which links the division of labor in ministry to the consequences of the fall.
Okay, I'm following so far, but how does the fall connect to gender roles in ministry? That's where I get a little lost.
He argues that while both Adam and Eve were deceived in the Garden of Eden, Eve was deceived first. And he believes that led to a division of roles that God ordained.
That's a pretty traditional interpretation. Some people might disagree with that.
You're right. These are complicated issues that people have different opinions about. But it's important to understand Dr. Yarbrough's reasoning.
Right.
He's presenting a theological perspective based on his study of scripture.
So if there's this divinely ordained division of roles, how does that play out in churches today?
That's where Dr. Yarbrough brings in the two main perspectives you hear about today. Complementarianism, which supports male leadership in the church.
Right.
And egalitarianism, which advocates for equal roles for men and women in ministry.
I've definitely heard those terms thrown around before, but I'm not always sure what they really mean.
Well, to put it simply, complementarians believe that men and women have different but complementary roles in the church and family, with men taking on the leadership roles. Egalitarians believe that men and women are equal and should have the same opportunities to serve in any role, including leadership roles.
Okay, that makes sense. And where does Dr. Yarbrough land in this debate?
He acknowledges that our society has shifted its views on gender. And that churches are struggling with whether to change their practices based on cultural trends or stick to what they see as God's unchanging word.
That's a big question, right? How do we balance adapting to culture while staying true to what we believe are biblical principles?
It's a tough one for sure. And Dr. Yarbrough doesn't offer any easy answers. He leaves us wrestling with these questions, encouraging us to seek understanding through Scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He even introduces an interesting term he prefers, over-complementarianism.
Oh, what's that?
He calls it ordered relational synergy. He likes this term because it emphasizes the harmonious partnership between men and women working together under God's design.
I can see why he prefers that term. Complementarianism does sound a bit rigid, but I'm still stuck on this idea of figuring out how to balance staying true to our beliefs while being sensitive to cultural changes.
He definitely gives us a lot to chew on. So just to recap, we've explored Dr. Yarbrough's deep dive into 1 Timothy 2, looking at everything from the importance of prayer to those controversial verses about women in ministry. It's clear this chapter isn't just about a bunch of rules. Dr. Yarbrough paints a picture of a church that's healthy and vibrant, where everyone is growing and serving.
You know what really stands out to me is how Dr. Yarbrough connects this passage back to the bigger story of creation, the fall, and redemption.
Right.
It makes you wonder, how does our understanding of those events shape how we view gender roles today?
That's such a great point. It's not just about isolated verses. It's about understanding how those verses fit into the entire story of the Bible and our own personal beliefs. So before we wrap things up, I want to leave you with something to think about. Consider your own church experience. How well does your church embody this vision of discipleship and ministry for both men and women?
It really makes you pause and reflect, doesn't it? Are we, you know, truly living out what it means to be the church, a place where everyone is encouraged and equipped for discipleship and ministry, no matter their gender?
It's a question, you know, that we each need to grapple with, both on a personal level and as a community of faith. And, you know, it's not about finding one-size-fits-all answers or forcing everyone into the same mold. It's about seeking God's wisdom and figuring out how we can best live out our calling as His people, you know, with all our unique differences and gifts.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. It's about embracing the beautiful tapestry of the body of Christ.
Right.
And recognizing that we all have something important to contribute. And that's what makes this deep dive into 1 Timothy 2 so valuable. You know, it's not just about rules from a long time ago. It's about wrestling with these timeless truths that impact how we live and serve today.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that true discipleship isn't about sitting back and passively listening. It's about actively engaging with God's word.
Right.
Being willing to ask tough questions and seeking God's heart in everything we do.
So as we wrap up, if you're feeling challenged, encouraged, or maybe even a little provoked by this deep dive, that's a good thing. It means you're taking your faith seriously and you're engaging with these important topics. So keep digging into the scriptures, keep praying for wisdom, and keep seeking God's guidance as you navigate these complex issues.
And don't shy away from conversations with people who hold different views. We can learn so much from listening to each other, even when we don't see eye to eye.
Absolutely. Iron sharpens iron, as they say. So go out there and be the church in all its messy, beautiful, challenging glory. Until next time, keep diving deep.